If you want to bring your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, it's Gizmo Sapiens time. I'm Chris, and with me today is...
I am Matt.
And we're going to talk about, since this is being recorded during the week of First Contact Day, which I think is a much cooler day than May the 4th. That's me. I know a lot of people will disagree, but that's okay. And so we're going to kind of talk about Star Trek. I know we talked about TV the last time. But, and Star Trek is always part of that conversation for me and Matt, at least. But this specifically, we're going to talk about Star Trek. And we'll probably hit a couple other topics because we tend to meander around things. And everything. So, on First Contact Day, Paramount Plus, formerly CBS All Access, from the artist formerly known as CBS All Access, had a whole day dedicated with special programming and sneak previews of their shows and things like that. And so we got to see a teaser trailer for season 2 of Picard. And it was interesting because it was intentionally made to just be a giant bunch of Easter eggs, kind of giving you a prelude into the next season. And of course, the easiest one to pick out at the very end was Q. There's a Queen of Hearts card laying on the table, and it disintegrates all but the corner with the Q for the Queen. And then you hear John DeLancey's voice, say he has his home statement about
the trial never ends.
And
all that.
And, but we kind of knew that that one was coming. There was talk already during Picard season 1 that Q was going to be, part of Picard season 2. Cause in reality, when you look, if you think about it and you think about John DeLancey's Q, since there's more than one Q technically, he was inextricably linked from Encounter at Farpoint at the beginning of beginning of Star Trek The Next Generation through all of Picard's things. Because even when he made appearances in Voyager and things like that, he always talked about Picard. He had talked about Riker a lot too, which was kind of strange. But he talked a lot about Picard, you know. And so that, you know, we can see that coming. And we also know that Guinan is also going to be in season 2, which I could give or take. Guinan was never a favorite character of mine. She was more like, we need to have kind of like Morn in Deep Space Nine. That's what I count. We need
to have somebody with a big hat that can just be like omnipresent without being a central part of any story whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when you compare Morn to Guinan. Guinan was the bartender. And Morn was the customer.
Yeah, and honestly, I get more out of Morn with no dialogue at all than I've ever gotten out of Guinan.
Yeah, yeah. The only part where Guinan actually has kind of a central role in any of the story, a true central role in any of the stories, and isn't really glorified set dressing or exposition. Really, that's what Guinan's character was an expository character, so that they didn't have to have the main characters who were more about action be expository.
Yeah.
And in a way, Morn was that same thing too, because what he was is he was the focus of the exposition when people would come into Quark's bar and do that. But she actually had a little bit of being a character in Star Trek Generations, the movie, only because she was the only way to tie her race and what happened to what happened to Jim Kirk on the Enterprise B.
Yeah. I mean, she is somewhat tied to the Q story, too.
Yes, because her long-lived race has encountered Q in the past. I mean, but
And the Borg as well, because the Elorians they left their home planet because it became Borgified. Right. But other than that, really, what's the point in bringing her back? I'm hoping I am wrong, but I'm just not looking forward to. There's no part of this season that I've heard about that I am like excited about.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Although I love, well, I guess it isn't that funny. Jean-Luc Picard, although I liked the character, was not my favorite character in Star Trek The Next Generation. It was Will Riker. But that's because my favorite characters are the Jim Kirk, Jonathan Archer.
The guy who's going to, like, lead the away team and be a part of the action.
Exactly. You know? And so I identify with those types of characters. Trip Tucker was a good one too, because I thought it was a great difference in that Tucker was a leader. You know, they never, except for that scene where, and you don't know that unless you read the book adaptation of Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan, you don't know that scene where Scotty has that young ensign in his arms, who was killed by Khan's attack. That was his nephew.
Right.
But other than that scene, Scotty's not a leader. I mean, he sat on the Khan in TOS, but particularly in the movies and as he got older, he was still just the engineer. Whereas, like, Trip Tucker, he was a leader, and he was even a leader in engineering. You know, there's all those scenes that they did a great job with, like the scenes, because Seth MacFarlane, you know, part of his love of Star Trek is he ought to be part of it. He was a semi-recurring character in Enterprise as one of the engineers who worked under Trip Tucker.
Right.
He was in 5 episodes. I only know that because I read this article about Seth MacFarlane related to Orville Season 3, which evidently is happening.
We'll see.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But you know, Tucker was a leader in engineering, and then he also commanded some away teams. He also, and technically he was the first officer until the Vulcans forced T'Pol to be on the ship. And even then, she really wasn't first officer. She was just the science officer / Vulcan attaché. But, you know, identify with those characters. And Scotty's one of my favorites, too. Being an engineer myself, you know, I like people who make and fix things. But I wouldn't consider Scotty a Jim Kirk, Jonathan Archer, Trip Tucker, William Riker type character.
Scotty's one of those guys who's a leader on the ship, not
the leader of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, they even did that in that one episode, one of the better episodes of the second season of Enterprise, where Archer had lost his memory because of that phase shift or whatever, and he would relive the same day over and over, and he wakes up and humanity had lost against the Zindi, and they were on the remnants of Starfleet, and so you had a Trip was the captain of the Enterprise, and you had the tactical officer Reed as the captain of another ship that had survived.
I don't remember this one at all. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that. That's one.
Really, the Enterprise, I think, has always been one of the unsung series in Star Trek, and. I thought the first season was wonderful, and the second season wasn't bad. The problem is that's the second season, the end of the first season and the beginning of the second season is when CBS, Paramount, Viacom, whoever you want to call who was in control, decided that they were going to switch from a episodic system to a long game story. And the Zindi War was just too long, particularly since we had just gotten out of the Changeling War in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And we had gotten out of what was essentially the Borg War with Voyager, you know, and so people were kind of tired of that same storyline. And the third season was phenomenal, except for the first episode, because that was their, oh my God, we got to tie up this temporal war storyline. And so they did it in 2 hours. You know, it was kind of like...
And it was absurd. I mean, the absurdity level was like off the scale charts.
Well, and there were other things that sucked about that whole... That was the beginning of the stupid endings to Major Dilemmas.
Yeah.
Because really, up until that point, they had a great storyline for the Temporal War at the end of season two. And then they decided, well, we don't want to continue with this because viewership is down and everything else because they're tired of that storyline. So we're going to close it all up in a 2-hour season three premiere. And then they do it again twice in Voyager. Or not Voyager, in Star Trek Discovery. So because even though it's not one of my favorite episodes, the pilot... The 2-hour pilot of Voyager is not, or Voyager of Discovery is not bad. It's just the Discovery is not even in the first half of that, the first hour of the 2-hour pilot when they aired it as a 2-hour system. After you get through that episode, you start having these episodic, I mean, even though there is the overarching, you know, four story years arc. War story arc, you had some great episodic moments, particularly the ones with Harry Mudd and like when they found Ash Tyler and, you know, him and Lorca escaped the Klingons. And then you get to the end of the story and yeah they kind of clumsily handled. It's not that I thought that moving to the mirror universe was a bad thing. I wasn't expecting that. But then it's like Lorca became stupid in the mirror. He was this cunning man who had deception on everybody for years in Starfleet. And then he gets back over there and he starts making all these stupid decisions. And then, you know, it's not like Emperor Georgiou was that much smarter than he was.
Yeah, because quite honestly, she's not the sharpest knife in the drawer either.
But even with that, it was an entertaining story, you know, particularly since you got to see like the Prime Universe Stamets and the Mirror Universe Stamets and, you know, and the differences between them and, you know, and a lot of the characters. It was fun. It's always entertaining. But then they wrapped up the whole first season not knowing that they were going to get renewed, and they put a little bow on it, and, you know, everything is okay. Burnham, you know, is forgiven, and she's got her commission back as a commander and lieutenant commander in Starfleet, and that's not necessarily as... That was a little JJ Trek for me, I must say.
Yeah.
You know, in real Prime Universe Trek, she probably would have been busted down to lieutenant, at least.
Well, I think she would have. I would have gone even further. I'd have made her start over.
Yeah, well, I mean, they should have. They couldn't take her too far out because then it would be hard to make her a main character. But, you know, they promoted Tilly.
Yeah, so I was going to say, how hard can it be? Tilly was a freaking cadet.
Yeah, so they made Tilly an ensign so that they could keep her in the show, you know. And all this, and then you have the wonderful second season, which by far was great. I have to say that a lot of that was because of Anson Mount as Captain Pike, and
Some wonderful casting in that second season.
And, well, Jet Reno added... her character doesn't necessarily make sense on the Discovery as another engineer. Because you have Stamets, who's chief engineer, and then you have her, who's chief engineer.
Although, is he really the chief engineer, or is he just a science guy that is in charge of the...
Well, he's... that's why I think he's like... It, you know, it's kind of like when Scotty was made captain of engineering on the Excelsior.
Yeah.
You know.
Agreed.
Hey, Scotty was in charge of the transwarp system, and then there was a chief engineer who was in charge of everything else. I think that's really what Stamets and Jet Reno's roles are. But that being said, you have this wonderful second season. Then they... It was not a jump the shark moment. I actually think they did a great job with it. Knowing that they wanted to create the Strange New Worlds, which would have kept that timeline. So you don't want two shows competing with each other in the same timeline.
Why not?
Because
Deep Space Nine and TNG did that for a couple years, and then DS9 and Voyager did it for a couple of years, although there you're talking about a huge difference in space, literally.
Yeah.
But
even with the time jump, which... could have been a whole jump the shark thing. When they hit the future, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Why was it wonderful? Because it was different. It wasn't what they were expecting. They didn't know that, you know, all these things. And there was this great hidden gem. And this is the problem they had with the hidden gem is they had two good storylines for this third season. And they knew one was one that they probably should finish up in the third season, and one they shouldn't. Well, that's really how I see it. The producers decided they would end both of them in the third season. But you had the Orion woman who is in control of the syndicate, and then you had the mystery of why did all the
burn
happen, and they. I was unsatisfied with the answers to both or the resolution of both. The burn should have been kept and been a multi-season thing. That should have been, you know,
that should have been the thrust of what's happening in the future.
Correct. And they could have even, you know, there could have been some conceits in the storyline like, hey, we found a concentration of dilithium so that the Federation can not be fully restored, but can become somewhat more normal. But they should have drugged that out. And it should have had a real resolution. It should not have been a Kelpian who had been, you know, who had survived in this especially irradiated environment, could then destroy dilithium because he was in tune with it because of his emotions. That's horrible.
I can't imagine what it was like being in the writer's room for that. Well, you notice none of the writers are like jumping up and down saying, hey, that was my idea.
Oh, I know. And then you have the whole syndicate thing, which I thought was good. But if you were going to totally screw up the burn, I would have kept, I can't remember the character's name because she's dead. She was only in really like Osira.
Yeah.
That's her name. She was only in like four episodes in reality. They talked about her a lot, but she was only.
And that was the best part because you didn't know anything about her.
Correct. And so they could have drugged that out into the fourth season. And it was interesting. I mean,
now the only thing that caught my eye immediately in the Discovery,
well, let's
materials
not go to that, yeah.
that I saw,
even though we pivoted to Discovery,
okay,
in our idea of the talks about captains, I want to pivot back to
Picard. Okay.
There were a couple other things. Some of the things I think are kind of strange that they talk about in, or Because there was there's a great YouTube video from, I forget what the channel is, I subscribe to him, but it's all Trek, they're all Brits who do this. And he talked about the 8 Easter eggs, with the 8th one being the Q and the Queen. But they did allude to that in Season 1, or Series 1, as if we call it our Brit friends, we call it, of Picard, with the fact that when Picard's having his dream and he's talking to Data and they're playing poker, and Data has a hand of all Queen of Hearts.
Correct.
That does go back. Now, that's a I don't know if that was really planned or not.
To be honest, that's one of the throwaways that I kind of feel like might have been planned.
Yeah.
Only in the idea being, well, maybe we could play with this in season 2.
Yeah.
But let's not be overt about it.
The other part that's also pretty interesting about Picard is it's highly believed that it's going to be, and this is also based on interviews with Patrick Stewart and some of the other cast, that this is going to be another time travel series. Now, I think it's travel in the past, because that's where in the trailer you get the Stargazer.
A lot of Stargazer.
Which would be interesting. And again, season 1, they alluded to that, because the doctor, the retired doctor in Starfleet, who gives Picard his prognosis on his disease, is the chief medical officer when Picard was in command of the Stargazer. So, I mean, you know, that again,
time travel stories irk me usually. Well,
the problem is that's the trope right now.
Yeah.
Marvel Comic Universe, Star Trek, DC Comic Universe. I don't even know what you want to... Frankly, the Star Wars universe, because it was just Back to the Future with the last 3 movies. But, yeah, I mean, there's only so much time. And Star Trek has always been... had lots of stories about time travel, or, you know, the whole season... go back to Enterprise again, the Temporal War. I mean, and then you had all those episodes of Voyager, where you had the part of Starfleet that was just that, you know, they had the temporal ships and they were managing time and all of that. You know, I want something with a little more. That's why I kind of wish they didn't get rid of Osira in Discovery. And I don't, the same thing with Picard. I would rather find out more about the Vulcan-Romulan thing going on in Picard.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would relate to the storyline in Discovery.
I'm even more interested in what's going on with the Matrix.
Yeah, with the Borg and everything. You know, reason to bring aliens. Jerry Ryan back. You know, you don't even need a reason to bring Jerry Ryan back. But, you know, or let's go
back. The reason they're using is not cool.
Yeah. But, you know, let's go back and look at some of the, you know, the other characters who were potentially good storylines in Picard. You know, and one of them is, go back to the whole Professor Galen thing. You know, maybe Picard didn't solve all of that mystery during TNG. How about Vosh? I mean, she'd be a character who'd just show back up in your life. Which I think is kind of funny, the name Vosh. Particularly in relation to he's French, Jean-Luc Picard. If you don't know, Vosh means cow in French. And basically, to call someone a cow is equivalent to in the English language, of using the word for unlawful... anagram of
foreign lawful carnal knowledge.
Yeah. And so, you know, to have a character with such a charged name, and, you know, and some writer thought they were really, you know, being funny, because really a lot of people would not have picked up on that.
Sure.
You know, So, but you, who knows? Maybe they'll. So many people raved about Picard. It was a good. It was entertaining, because again, bad Star Trek is better than no Trek. Although there's a lot of better Trek. And you're not going to keep, you know, a new fan base alive by having a lot of new bad Trek.
Well, and particularly with Trek being the cornerstone
of Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I just don't see that. They have to maintain the quality, and they have to maintain the fan service to keep that afloat.
And I mean, they also had some other things in there that were interesting that had to do with time. So you had the stone tablet from Deep Space Nine is sitting on his desk.
Now, see, I think that is a throwaway. I think that's going to have nothing to do with this story. I think it was just on the desk for decoration.
Well, I to some degree, I agree with you. I think it might be an episodic episode that might be involved in. And then it is a throwaway, you know. But, you know, that ties back to the Paw Wraiths and the Celestials.
There's no reason to do that show, even if it's just one episode, without Avery Brooks. There's no reason to do it.
There's talk about, though, that Avery Brooks, he's willing to work. But the question is what's he willing to take for that work?
Well, and then there's that. He's just one. He's what I never expect to see it. That would be the coup.
Yeah.
And to have kept it a secret this long would have been astounding.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be the Luke Skywalker moment from Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening. I don't see the show called Picard allowing Sisko to take over. And that's that's what would have to happen in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is I agree with you. You know, they said there were 8 Easter eggs. And yeah, but a lot of them were stuff that I would expect to see. You know, like from Chateau Picard, the horse with the plow, you know, the man plowing.
Right.
The picture that used to hang in the ready room in, you know, of the Enterprise D, that Picard had hanging in his ready room on the Enterprise D and E. I expect those to be in his possession. Those are throwaways. Those aren't Easter eggs. Same thing with, you know, some of the other things they said, like the Shaw he received, or that's a tribute to that. But he had that in episodes of on the Enterprise E in the movies. He had it in his office in the ready room in Next Gen. No, that's a throwaway. You know, that's just.
There are things that you include in scenes like that that are supposed to mean something, and then there are things that are going to be in there that are legit and just red herrings.
Yeah, that's why I don't totally discount the stone tablet, because it's not something Picard would expect Picard to have had in his possession. Now that being said, you know, Galen's.
Plus, wasn't it destroyed?
Yes, and it's not complete sitting on the desk, but it's in bigger. If you look at it, it's in more complete state than it was in the episode of Deep Space Nine where Avery Brooks or Captain Sisko destroyed it. So, you know, maybe it's not the same one, but who knows? So let's move on from Picard, because, you know, we should be.
It'll either be good or it won't. There's not going to be any.
Yeah. And it, the only thing we know about it is it's coming out in 2021.
Yeah.
And same thing with. Let's move to the Discovery teaser trailer. And I'll start off with we only know it's coming out. It's going to start in 2021. Now, if Discovery follows its current Pattern. It will be out in like November again, which is fine. I like that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, which means you back up if they keep the they don't swap other shows around. If they keep to the schedule that they've been putting them out in, then you'll have, you know, 10 weeks. You'll have a 2 week hiatus prior to that, and then at the end of the summer here, we will have 10 weeks of. Well, I guess it won't be in the summer. It'll be in the fall. We'll have 10 weeks of Lower Decks, which evidently that is complete as well.
Is it? Because I hadn't heard that. Not that that's one that I'm like following closely.
Well, after we were so rudely interrupted, you know, that means the potential of Picard is probably in the mid to late summer. If they're saying 2021.
See, now I thought it said 2022.
I thought Picard said 2021. Because if they hit 2022, that means it's a year between productions. Which is not uncommon.
With Patrick being as old as he is and being as scared of COVID as he is, it wouldn't surprise me.
Now, I've heard this before, is that the show that I'm so interested in, Strange New Worlds, is under production.
Right.
And we won't see it until 2022. Because I have a feeling that being currently in production, they get into post, get all that done, then it will bookend Discovery. When the next season of Discovery ends, they'll start, you know, wait 2 weeks, and then they'll start Strange New Worlds. Because, I mean, and I agree with this strategy. It's a strategy that Disney is making a mistake of with the Star Wars universe, but not with the MCU, which is they're trying to have a Star Trek story on air
all the time.
All the time.
Well, and they're doing same thing with the Star Wars thing, but it's taking them too long to put it all together.
Yeah, well, I think...
And some of those stories, projects are...
Yeah.
Kind of questionable.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and this is one thing I do not like about the current way that shows, particularly hour-long shows, are being done. So when you go back, you go back to TOS, TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, they all had 22 to 23 episodes per season, which means that, you know, they were just short of a six-month run of a show.
Mm-hmm.
And all the new shows, and those were all hour shows, all the new shows, which are truly an hour show. Now, I think this is maybe because there's no commercials on Paramount Plus, so they're truly, if you're watching a show, it's an hour long. And this may be the difference, but we get somewhere between 10 to 12 episodes. And usually it settles in at 10 episodes, and so you get 10 weeks of the show, and you're waiting for 12 months for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah,
of the show.
I don't mind that if what that means is we get more seasons more often.
Yes, exactly.
But if it means, like in Picard's case, I mean, that was 2019, was it not? I mean, if it doesn't actually air until 2022.
Let me go to the interwebs and go to IMDb. I thought it was 2020, but...
It might have been, but...
Yeah, it was 2020.
But they shot it in 2019.
Correct. Correct.
So now they're not going... I mean, they're not going to start shooting Picard until... maybe later this year. I mean, mean, I there's no way to get that done and get it in 2021. So now if you're talking 2 years...
Yeah.
...to get a 10-episode run versus an hour-long show for 22 to 26 episodes a year... I don't know. I'm not digging the vibe we're getting.
Yeah, so Picard season one ran from January 23rd, 2020, which was 2 weeks after Discovery, that season of Discovery ended. And its last episode was released on March 26th. Soon. And then, so it says, in this article, it says late 2021 or early 2022.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2022. I just don't see them. Because, quite frankly, late 2021 is when we're targeting for Disco.
Well, we know Disco starts because it said clearly in the end of their trailer... Yeah, it does say 2022. I didn't catch that in the Picard season 2. You know, the problem, and yes, I understanding it's trying times on everybody. But the problem is it's hard to be interested in something, you know. It's like all those years that Firefly that they kept saying, you know, Josh Whedon kept saying, "Hey, I'm working on bringing it back, and I'm working on bringing it back." And then after so many years passed, he's like, "Don't even ask. I'm not bringing it back. We're never going to get another season of Firefly." You know.
Uh-huh.
And,
I kind of feel the same way about Orville.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't care that it's going to be 2022, because, again...
I don't either.
I'm much more interested in...
Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds and Disco. And I even enjoyed... I didn't think I would enjoy it as much, Lower Decks.
Lower Decks was better than expected. It actually outperformed my expectations.
Yeah. I'm anticipating Lower Decks coming back, because I want to see Boimler as a lieutenant now on Riker's ship. I want to see how that goes and how he ends up back with, you know, the other crew, the rest of the crew, or if they move on too. And then, you know, because that would be a good way to, you know, you take those four characters and, you know, for a season, they can have a rest of the crew around them. But then you don't have to worry about, you know, you can move on really quickly in that cartoon format, too.
Plus, I like if any of those actors get snooty and want too much money, you can write them off.
Yes. Yes. Well, heck, you find somebody who is a voice actor who sounds similar to them, you know?
Well, I mean,
that happens in cartoons all the time.
Why even do that in this case?
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Yep.
Just write in a new character.
You know, because the one thing I thought was so strange, sorry for that other interruption, but what I thought was so strange is, you know, the captain, and you have Jerry O'Connell playing the first officer.
Yeah.
And yet, he only really had an episode. Well, he had like parts, like 2 or 3 minutes in 2 or 3 episodes to be Jerry O'Connell as this character, you know?
Well, you had to have some people that had a little bit of gravitas.
Yeah.
To be the senior officers in order to play off the silliness.
Very true. Very true.
Not that Jerry, not that he's got a whole lot of gravitas. I mean, Sliders is about the only thing he's ever done. But you get what I'm saying with that. I mean, he's at least an established sci-fi name.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of misspoke, but was right in the same thing. It looks like season 2 of Lower Decks is going to be in August. The trailer for Lower Decks says August 12th, 2021.
So that'll run you through like mid-September, which would set up Disco around...
If they do Disco a little earlier...
October-ish.
Which then, by you would hope... Strange New Worlds is... they're, you know, coming out. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because that may, you know, likely, if they don't do it at the... Around Christmas, release Strange New Worlds, which would be a good time to do it. They could release it right early in January. Mm-hmm. And then... They could finish production of Picard and get all the posts done and then wait 2 weeks and then have 10 weeks of Picard. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're at what? That's four shows. If they do 10 episodes a piece, you're...
Plus, we haven't talked about Prodigy yet.
No, you have 40 weeks of shows.
Yeah.
With 2 weeks in between each. So there's another 6 weeks. So 46 out of 52 weeks a year. So you throw Prodigy in there and all of a sudden you have Star Trek on... All the time.
Yep. And unfortunately, that means the shorts have gone.
The short treks, yeah. Well, and you know, they may, but the problem is, I think the short treks got derailed just because of production problems.
Well, and I get that. And I think part of why those were, why I'm less concerned about the 10 episode seasons is because we had those.
Yes.
To drop in there from time to time to
well, and some of them were great. Like like the one with Tribbles and all that.
Yep.
That one was phenomenal. And it was like 15, 20 minutes. It was, you know, about as much TV as you get in a half hour episode. It was a complete story.
And any time you can bring Archer into Star Trek is worth it.
Yeah. Well, so let's go back to the Discovery trailer. It's trailer. See, I didn't see the season 2 trailer for Lower Decks, hence why
I've only caught
I've seen the Disco one and I've seen the Picard one. Disco one, there's some new, it's very vague.
It is,
which I like. I mean,
me too.
So the big thing is they've changed uniforms again.
Yes.
So they're back.
That's the first thing I saw. They're
uniforms from last season. The reminiscent of Star Trek, the motion picture uniform, but now they're in the colors from TOS. So yes. Operations and actually they're the colors from TNG, because Operations Science and Command are the TNG colors. And so that's an interesting thing. And then they show the crew recovering from a massive disaster on the bridge of the Discovery.
Yes.
And they show the Vulcan Romulan or Tavaran representative tell Burnham that she's in charge. And they show Starfleet headquarters in a couple scenes with the ships, you know, only around the space dock. And but you know, it looks like they got season 4 might be their in stride season where it starts to come together, and they got writers who realize don't do stupid stuff. But I won't say that. It is Viacom. They, you know, they do stupid things occasionally, and have been since the early 2000s.
So the reason for the uniform switch?
Well, Burnham. Well, she was pregnant in the last episode of.
That's irrelevant. The costume designer,
yeah,
when they were shooting all those new uniforms on the Federation headquarters base,
probably got dirty really quick.
Well, no, they looked great and it looked clean, and the whole thing was part of the whole design concept. Well, when they put those uniforms on Disco Crew on Disco, apparently those uniforms are the same color as the background of Disco. Bled in.
They did blend in quite a bit. If you watch that last episode, it does look out of place.
So that's the reason for the color change in the uniforms, which I thought was hilarious that they didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, because
but they look better. I like the new uniforms.
Well,
I didn't really particularly care for the cut
as an older man,
but I like the new uniforms.
Who I'm not in terrible shape, but I'm a lot heavier than I was back in my college days when we were cosplaying in TNG third season and beyond uniforms. And I can still pull those off, the jacket ones. But these other uniforms are a lot more forgiving. They're more like the old Admiral uniforms.
Yes.
So if you have a little bit of a gut, it's not going to show as bad. And it certainly isn't like the jumpsuits or that they wore for the first two seasons.
Which is why I'm a little curious, going back to Picard for a moment.
Yeah.
Doing the Stargazer thing. That's going to be real difficult because
they go back to the jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original ones.
And that's going to be
so
awful.
There is a, I have to ask my son cause he was the one watching it, but there is a documentary and they talk about, I think it's on YouTube too. Cause Marina Sirtis is part of it and she's kind of hosting it and she shows and it's old footage where she's doing a tour for somebody and showing them, you know, the different uniforms and, you know, the things that they did, like the special bras that they made for women so that right. they, you know, they would look correct in the uniform jackets. And there was, you know, they switched costume designers in TNG between season one and season two, and they hated those one-piece jumpsuit uniform so bad in season two, that's why the new costume designer made the jacket and pants. And the funny thing is, and did not know this, but until I watched this, is that the main crew, so, you know, Geordi and Worf and Riker and Picard and Troy and Dr. Crusher, all had uniforms that were made of better material, wool.
Right.
And so, Gates McFadden's uniform, because it was made of better material, actually was a slightly different color than every other science and medical person's uniform. And if you're watching the show, you don't pay attention to it until somebody tells you about it. And then all of a sudden you're like, her uniform's brighter than the other uniforms.
There was one of those crappy uniforms was on a character that was supposed to be a science guy, and it looked green to me.
Yeah. Well, and
like Kelly green, not like...
Oh, I know.
I mean...
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I think that's probably why medical has a green uniform in...
yeah.
In Orville. It's kind of a nod to that.
Yeah.
And stuff. But, you know, I'm glad to see the uniform change. I kind of like it, you know, particularly when they move to something, you know, and I also, they have to be cognizant of cosplayers wanting to cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And that uniform would be much easier to make than like the Disco uniforms that they started with.
Yeah.
You know, I have, and I paid a lot of money for it because it's not like you can go buy the cheap uniforms anymore because cosplay has gotten so big, you know, people are making real money, but they're making quality stuff.
Right.
And I have a Pike TOS, you know,
style
uni, but I'll never be able to get the boots with the you know, the Enterprise chevrons and everything. You just wear, like, you know, what I do like about the pants for that type of uniform is, although they were similar to the Discovery kind of jumpsuit uniform, although those really were two pieces, they are, in that they had lots of pockets on them. They're, basically, you can go get a pair of black fatigue pants or a pair of black hunting pants or something, and you know, you'll look close enough to cosplay.
Yeah.
But now that the new disco, you know, that one, it's, you know, it's not going to be easy to make your own, but it won't be so hard that it's so difficult that you can't.
Yeah, and again, the cut of that jacket still kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
But that is
what it is. Well, the funny thing is the cut of that, I think, is to make everybody look taller, because if you notice, it's all vertical lines.
Yeah.
But the problem with it is that they look very, particularly on the women, because the shoulders are broad, they look like they're wearing a sack almost when they stand up. When they sit down, they look fine.
Yeah.
When they stand up, because in that teaser trailer,
they do look like Admiral uniforms.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah, we used to call those dresses back in the day.
Yeah.
The dress uniforms were really, really long and flowy, and
oh yeah,
they were not.
It's your class A's, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think this is a perfect moment to stop talking right now.
Okay.
And we will continue this on a next episode.
Okay.
Because I do want to cover the Orville, and I want to cover some other things. I think we kind of beat up First Contact Day and what you know, Paramount Plus released in footage and interviews and stuff. So we want to hear from you, our listeners. Please send us some feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
You've been listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.